Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, December the 10th, 2015, coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. But you don't need to be in front of a radio if you're anywhere in the world near a computer. Live stream us at buckmastershow.com. That's my website, or the station's fine website, kvoi.com. Of course, we have all of our podcasts and our archive available anywhere in the world, again, 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. The Southwest Books of the Year competition began back in 1977 by the Arizona Daily Star, continued in the year 2000 by the Pima County Public Libraries. The Southwest Books of the Year Best Reading Publication is published by the Southwest Literature Project of Pima County Public Libraries in partnership with the Friends of Pima County Public Library and the Arizona Historical Society. Books selected by two or more of the five reviewers become a top pick, and this year there are 10 top picks, which we will discuss over the next half hour. Two of the five reviewers join us now on the program to discuss the cream of the crop of this year's nearly 200 submissions. Dr. Bruce Dingus is the Director of Publications for the Arizona Historical Society. Christine Wald Hopkins is with us. She teaches composition at the University of Arizona. Chris and Bruce, thanks for being with us again this year.
Thank you, Bill.
Glad to be here.
Let's get right into it. Of the 10 top picks, one of the top picks that had all five of the reviewers saying thumbs up was a book called All the Wild That Remains. Bruce Dingus, what did you like about this book?
There probably aren't two people more unlike than Wallace Stegner and Ed Abbey, but Gessner's put his finger on something that the two of them together probably dominate what's written about the West today, and particularly in our environmental issues. And he's gone on a trip visiting people that knew them both and has come up with a sort of synthesis of just how important they were individually and together to the way we view the West today.
David Gessner is the author.
Right.
Right, published by W.W. Norton. Chris, what did you like about this one?
What I liked about it is that Gessner actually kind of revisits his own experience of coming alive in the West. And as he travels around and examines the places that Abbey and Stegner wrote about and the issues that they were concerned with in the 20th century, he brings those to the fore to us in his travels. He quite loves it. I think he appreciated both Abbey and Stegner, but you can see by the end that the approaches that each of them takes, he doesn't entirely appreciate to the same degree. I think probably if he'd been writing earlier about Abbey, he might have weighed in on Abbey's wild approach. But now he sort of weighs in for Stegner, who is a more disciplined writer who supported policy change in the West.
And again, the book is All the Wild That Remains, Edward Abbey and Wallace Stegner and the American West by David Gessner, published by W.W. Norton. Our next book is a title, American Ghost, A Family's Haunted Past in the Desert Southwest. One of the two reviewers who selected this book is Bruce Dingus.
This is by Hannah Nordhaus, and all of us have ghosts in our family, but we usually mean it figuratively. She has one literally. Her great-great-grandmother, Julia Staub, is reported to haunt her former home, which is the La Posada Hotel in Santa Fe. And Nordhaus takes that as a jumping-off point to explore her family roots that go back to the German merchant families in Santa Fe and Tucson. And also it takes her back to Europe to see what happened to that family during the Holocaust. And so what we have here is just a really engrossing story of Jewish settlement in the Southwest, and an account of really how the past haunts us all.
That book again, American Ghost, A Family's Haunted Past in the Desert Southwest, that's published by Harper. Our third book, Chasing Arizona, One Man's Year-Long Obsession with the Grand Canyon State by Ken Lamberton, University of Arizona Press. I would select this as one of my picks as well because I think it was a great read. I really enjoyed it. Ken Lamberton talked about it here on our program. He set out to visit Arizona, well, really every county and Indian nation, and see every state symbol, taste the state's many ethnic foods, see the highest peaks, the deepest valleys, all in one year. It is a very fun book to read, and congratulations to our friend Ken Lamberton and the University of Arizona Press, the book Chasing Arizona. It's done very well. And any of these books, by the way, Bruce and Chris, would make great Christmas gifts, wouldn't they?
Exactly. So. I think there are 10 on my list, and they're going to all members of my family, I can tell you that.
The next book, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. This is by our friend Margaret Regan. It's published by Beacon Press. Margaret is no stranger to this program. She is our arts contributor. She also is the arts writer, has been for many years at the Tucson Weekly. This is her second book about immigration. And Chris, this was one of your picks.
Absolutely. Margaret is an excellent journalist. And she has an excellent ear for dialogue and for quotation. But she also is not afraid to get out from behind her computer and out into the community. So what she did was to divide a book into three parts. She looked at people who had been detained within the U.S. because they were undocumented within the country. She looked at people who had been deported, went to Nogales, and interviewed them at the Comedor, at the shelters in Nogales. And the third section of her book is about resistance and support of the undocumented in southern Arizona, the humanitarian work that Samaritans do, that No More Deaths do, that lawyers do to keep families together. That's really the focus, the fact that families are divided.
And Margaret has shared with us about the book. It wasn't easy to gain access. She had to do a tremendous amount of legwork to even gain access to these facilities to even report on what was going on there.
And you see her there. She's denied sometimes, but you also she comes down fairly hard on the way that these people are treated and detained, incarcerated essentially in southern Arizona.
Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire by our friend Margaret Regan, the publisher Beacon Press. Our fifth book before we take the break, our 5 out of 10, Epitaph, a novel of the O.K. Corral. We have to have an Old West book in there, Bruce. And Bruce Dingus liked this book, and it's, I guess, how would you describe this one?
Well, Tombstone's a gift that just keeps on giving.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
And Mary Russell is just a splendid writer. People are probably familiar with her best-selling book, The Sparrow, which involves Jesuits in outer space. But I think what she's done here is not only written a great Tombstone book, but a great Western novel. She has done meticulous research, and she casts the confrontation between the Earps and the Clantons and McLowry as sort of a Greek drama where they're driven by personality and by fate into this 30-second gunfight that defines the rest of their lives and that we still reverberates down through history. And I think it's probably the novel of the O.K. Corral, and it's certainly a classic re-envisioning of the West. Beautiful book.
Epitaph, a novel of the O.K. Corral. So those are our first 5 of 10 books. We will take our break right here, Ray, and then we'll come back and we will have more of our Southwest Books of the Year right after this.
Are termites chewing on more than your Yule log this holiday season? 5-Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foaming process will rid your home of termites before your first snowball fight on Mount Lemmon. So call 5-Star today and replace those termite tubes hanging from your ceiling with mistletoe and find someone to smooch under it. Call 5-Star at 886-0045 and visit 5startermite.com.
With 5-Star Pest Control, we know what bugs you.
Hello, I'm Governor Doug Ducey. Christian Family Care does tremendous work to positively impact foster care in Arizona. Today, there are more than 17,000 kids under the care of the state. One significant way you can contribute is through Christian Family Care's Foster Care Tax Credit. It's a simple but meaningful way to impact lives and show your support for the wonderful children and foster families throughout Arizona.
Go online today to fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
Give local, keep local. That's what you can do by donating to a qualified charitable organization by December 31st. The money you'd otherwise pay in Arizona state taxes can benefit a local charity of your choice. Claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for 2015 by donating up to $400 for couples filing jointly and up to $200 for individuals. It's easy. Just go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. Choose an organization like Youth on Their Own and Teen Outreach Pregnancy Services and make your gift today.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Say hello to some of our satisfied customers, who to us are also number one.
Ollie Farhang, attorney at the law firm of Farhang & Metcalf.
Mark Irvin, Mark Irvin Commercial Real Estate Services.
John Lewis, president of Commerce Bank of Arizona.
Wow, what a lineup. Check out our new business, Flower Design & Decor Company. Yes, now offering flowers, lounge furniture, decor, and so much more. On Speedway or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Learn about a rewarding career as a law enforcement officer. Pima Community College's Public Safety and Emergency Services Institute is offering a free information session December 16th at 6 p.m. at PCC's 29th Street Coalition Center, 4355 East Calle Aurora. Each year, PCC graduates hundreds of first responders who go on to work across Arizona. Call 206-3543 or visit pima.edu/PSESI. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about the annual Southwest Books of the Year. There are 10 top picks this year. During the first segment, we talked about 5 of the 10, All the Wild That Remains, Edward Abbey and Wallace Stegner, and The American West, American Ghost, A Family's Haunted Past in the Desert Southwest, Chasing Arizona, One Man's Year-Long Obsession with the Grand Canyon State by Ken Lamberton, University of Arizona. Press. Margaret Regan's book, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, Epitaph, a novel of the O.K. Corral, and now we will move on to a book titled The Jaguar's Children. With us, Bruce Dingus, Director of Publications for the Arizona Historical Society, and Bruce is one of the five reviewers this year of the Southwest Books, as is Christine Wald Hopkins. We'll begin with Bruce on The Jaguar's Children. And by the way, this was a book that four of the five reviewers said, thumbs up, I love this one.
People may be familiar with the author John Vallant from his award-winning nonfiction books, The Golden Spruce and The Tiger. This is his first attempt at fiction, and it's a beauty. He envisions a young man trapped with a group of illegal immigrants in a closed tanker truck that's been abandoned on the Arizona-Sonora border. And the young man is leaving messages in a cell phone that he took off of a friend of his who was deceased in this. And you learn through him how he came to leave Oaxaca, where he was born, and why he's made this migration north, and what he hopes to achieve. And you get in this novel just a beautiful encapsulation of the political and economic forces that are driving people out of Mexico and into the United States. It's just, again, a terrific statement on border issues told from a novelist's point of view.
Chris, this book resonated with you as well.
It did, and for some of the reasons that Bruce mentioned, but also from the narrative perspective. He actually has two narratives going. We have the 4 days when he and Hector and these 12 other crossers are in this tanker. It's hot during the day and cold at night.
Yeah, you can imagine being in a tanker in the Arizona desert.
It is terrible, and yeah. People are dying around them, and it's pitch black. Hmm. And there's also an underlying narrative about the issues that Bruce mentioned of forcing people to go north, of changes in seeds for corn. And one thing I kind of like, the Jaguar element of this, is that Vallant also celebrates the resilience of of indigenous peoples, of traditions and religions that were not totally taken over by Spanish or Mexicans.
The name of the book is The Jaguar's Children, and one of your fellow reviewers, Bill Broyles, wrote that of the many current books about border migrants around the world, this may be the most creative and tightly wound. Our next book, which again, Bruce and Chris both liked, Night at the Fiestas. What do you think about this one, Bruce?
I always look for something that's new and different, and I think Kirsten Valdez-Quaid has come up with something here. She was selected as one of the five under 35 writers to watch last year. And in this collection of short stories, she proves why. They're set in northern New Mexico. They're characters that are a little bit off the beaten path, who have issues that involves sort of redemption and loss. And she is just a beautiful stylist, and she looks at things in a sort of way that you don't encounter very often. So I think she is somebody that's going to watch. We're going to hear from her again.
And she, as you say, Quaid, selected by the National Book Foundation, five under 35 writers to watch. So that's big time. Chris, what do you think of this book?
Well, in addition to that, she was just selected. This book was selected as one of the notables for the New York Times.
Really?
Notable for the year,
right.
Yes. What I love about it is it's just imbued with northern New Mexico. Her family has been there since the conquistadors. And you can see that she says that some of the stories come from her own family stories, and I think that's the richness of it. There are very well-developed characters. They all are yearning for something. They're a little flawed, yearning for something, but she allows them a little redemption in the end. I look forward, actually, to reading more of her work.
Kristen Quaid, the book Night at the Fiestas. The next book, Sonoran Strange, by Logan Phillips, published by West End Press. Bruce, this was one of your selections.
I don't often go to poetry, but this book is strange in a very beautiful and enlightening sort of way. My mentor and friend Leland Sonickson used to always point to Dick Shelton's Hohokam as the great epic of Arizona poetry. I think Logan Phillips has a claim to that for modern Arizona. He's looking at very quirky and ironic parts of Arizona history and present, and again in this beautiful poetry showing why this area is unique and wonderful, and again above all why boundaries don't matter, that Sonora and Sonora Strange stretches across international boundaries.
Book Sonoran Strange by Logan Phillips, who is calls Tucson his home. He's a Tucson treasure, poet, and performer, Logan Phillips. The next book is titled Unprocessed, My City-Dwelling Year of Reclaiming Real Food by Megan Kimball. And reviewer Helene Woodhams writes, eating simply can be a complicated business. This is what Megan Kimball discovered when she opted to spend a year eating off the grid, bypassing all things frozen, enriched, or shrink-wrapped in favor of locally sourced food that was addictive, manipulation-free, and free also of preservatives. Unprocessed is the record she kept as she relearned how to feed herself. Sounds like a fascinating book. Unprocessed, the name of that one. The next book, our 10th pick, The Water Knife. And this is by Paolo... Chris?
Bacigalupi.
You took the Italian. The Water Knife, a novel?
It is a novel. It is science fiction. I heard someone refer to it as cli fiction because it's apocalyptic in terms of disasters from climate change. It's someplace in the future. I don't know how near future. Takes place between Phoenix and Las Vegas, and someone owns, big corporations own all the water. Those who have the power can live in these high sort of terrarium structures. Everyone else is just fighting over any kind of water they can get, including reprocessed human waste. It's a thriller. it's a thriller. There are gun battles. There's torture and so forth. And I kind of enjoyed it for that. I did not expect to call it a pick until after I closed it and I started thinking about it. Every time I heard something in the news about water, even when I read the Stegner and Abbey book about the issues in the West, I realized that Bacigalupi is actually making a very good point about how water is the most precious resource in the West and how we need to pay attention to that.
Many folks who have that call them futurists or whatever do pick the topic of water to be the next big contention point kind of for the 21st century, Chris. Mm-hmm. So I think he's right on with The Water Knife. Yeah. Our five books that we've been talking about during this break, The Jaguar's Children, Night at the Fiestas, Sonoran Strange, Unprocessed, My City-Dwelling Year of Reclaiming Real Food, and The Water Knife. Bruce Dingus, was there a book or two that you would like to mention that perhaps didn't make the list that you had perhaps hoped would make the list?
No, I think the strange thing this year is we all had more of an agreement than not, and there's some that the Water Knives, for example, I would have almost put on my list. So I think we had a really broad range this year. I was really, really happy with the selections that came up.
Chris?
I agree. There are a couple of collections of poetry that I picked that I would like to encourage other people to read. Luis Alberto Reyes' Tijuana Book of the Dead and Words Like Love by Tanaya Winder. Really worthwhile poetry for Southwest.
And the books for 2016 are already starting to come in, Bruce. Is that right?
They are, and I also want to remind people that the Tucson Festival of Books is coming up on March 12th and 13th. Quite a few of these authors are going to be on the program, so come visit them.
And for folks who were not able, perhaps they were driving and they didn't really catch the title of a book, where can they go to find out, get the full listing of the books and the brief review of each of the books?
Their local Tucson Public Pima County Public Library.
And they have the... The
pamphlets are they in the library now?
They will Southwest be, Books of the Year 2015. So overall, Bruce Dingus, you would, and you've been doing this for how many years? You've been one of the reviewers.
Since 1987.
And how would you characterize this year?
I think it ranks up with anyone. I think every year is the best year, and I think I could make that claim for this one too. And I will again for next year's, probably.
And the top book that of this 10, and again, your top, if you had to pick one that would stand out, would be?
David Gessner's book. That's something everybody ought to read, All the Wild That Remains.
With Edward, The Remains, Edward Abbey, Wallace Stegner, and The American West by David Gessner. Chris, final comment from you. You've been doing this a few years. Is this one of the banner years?
Well, I haven't done it that many times. Every year does seem great. I really enjoy this. I would recommend Detained and Deported to politicians right now, however, who are seeing our border issues as something as simple as just shut it down.
One quick question about kind of the literary future. Bruce, perhaps you can address this. How has the internet and the reading books on the internet and on iPads and all of that, how has that changed the world?
I think it's actually broadened audiences. I do both. When I'm traveling, my Kindle is always with me. It makes it so convenient. My downfall is waking up at 2 a.m, not being able to sleep and having nothing to read. It's so easy to hit that button, and there it is. So I just embrace all forms of reading.
All right. Southwest Books of the Year, the 2015 edition. Bruce Dingus, Chris Wald Hopkins. Chris and Bruce, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. My pleasure. Thank you.
We continue now with the Buckmaster Show. Right after our mid-break, we'll be talking about education. And David Safir will be here from the Tucson Weekly. That's next.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Learn about a rewarding career as a law enforcement officer. Pima Community College's Public Safety and Emergency Services Institute is offering a free information session December 16th at 6 p.m. at PCC's 29th Street Coalition Center, 4355 East Calle Aurora. Each year, PCC graduates hundreds of first responders who go on to work across Arizona. Call 206-3543 or visit pima.edu/PSESI. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:36 on this Thursday afternoon. Our guest tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview will be Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek. Lots to talk about with Steve K. It's a very busy council meeting talking about the new policy for the homeless. There's also some talks about some mandatory sick time pay for employers. So lots of stuff to talk about with Steve K. tomorrow. We are joined now by David Safir. David is one of our two dozen contributors that we are very honored to have with us on the Buckmaster Show that appear at least once a month. And David writes about education. He's a former educator himself. He writes about education in the Range section of TucsonWeekly.com. And he used to write about education and other things in a column in the Explorer, but cutbacks are a reality, unfortunately, in the print area.
Yeah, that's true. Hi, Bill.
How you doing, David? I'm sorry to begin with such bad news.
Well, something in the last couple of
days.
Part
of your intro was that you do a column for the Explorer.
I looked back on my computer and I realized I'd been doing those columns since 2008, which
really?
Is quite a longevity.
Yeah.
And it was a weekly column when I started. Then it was every other week. And then it was once a month. And it wasn't a matter of people being unhappy with my output. It was just a matter of finances. And the paper has gotten smaller. Mm-hmm. And finally, you know, budgets have been such that they've been cutting people. They try to keep their home staff, so the freelancers are the one who get hit. And the same thing, unfortunately, at the Tucson Weekly, where they said, because of cuts, we have to cut back the number of posts you do each week. And we were talking in the break that there's a company called 1013 Communications, and they have bought up almost all of the non-daily papers, the Explorer and the Weekly and Inside Tucson Business and some down in Sierra Vista, all the way up to Phoenix. And so it's been a consolidation, which I think just as an idea is not a good idea in journalism. But I will say, and specifically at the Weekly, that it is completely independent journalistically. It does excellent work.
Yes, it does.
I would say that Jim Nintzel is the dean of print journalism in this city, and some of the young folks who are the young journalists are just doing an excellent job. So it's not as big and doesn't have as much, but it's a good paper.
Mari Herreras does a good job.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She's doing a terrific job. She's been the editor for a while over there, and she works within the constraints that she has to through, you know, the home office with their financial constraints. But anyway, and speaking of Mari, she's a regular contributor, as you know, David, as is Nintzel, to our Friday roundtable here. In fact, Mari's going to be with us tomorrow. But anyway, so the big story education-wise happened a signing ceremony today, actually, at the White House.
I didn't see the signing ceremony, but I knew it was a fait accompli. I knew it was going to happen. The new Education Act, the new Omnibus Act, is the Every Student Succeeds Act, ESSA, and it replaces No Child Left Behind, which we have had since 2001 with George W. Bush. It's the first time there's been a real new act since 2001. They haven't even been able to renew the old one until recently, and amazingly, it was overwhelmingly passed with Democrats and Republicans together, which you and I know and everybody else knows out there, that doesn't happen very often these days in Washington.
What's different about this?
Well, one thing that's different, and I think this is the one thing that united people over anything else, is it removed a rather heavy hand that's been coming down from Washington, D.C., from the Department of Education, on all the schools. It began with the George W. Bush, No Child Left Behind, that said everybody must reach a certain level of achievement, that we're going to test kids every year, and if you do, that's great, and if you don't, there are going to be consequences. Well, it's funny because Democrats generally like federal involvement and federal programs, and Democrats still like the Department of Education. Republicans usually don't, but everybody's breathing a sigh of relief, Democrats and Republicans, that there'll be a little bit less of this coming down from Washington.
Well, still, of course, Washington is part of the whole bureaucracy, and what would it be without 11,000 pages long in this particular bill? Diane Douglas sent out a news release yesterday. Diane, from the head of this public education in Arizona, talking about that her office was going over the 1,000 pages to see how it will affect Arizona.
Right, and it's big, and nobody knows all the little stuff, but the big picture is there. For instance, Common Core basically is no longer a federal mandate. It wasn't really, but it was kind of. Now it isn't at all, which is, you know, people, again, on conservatives and people like me thought the Common Core should not be imposed on all schools and on all states. And it won't be anymore, which makes things easier for Arizona, because Arizona already said we're not going to do that. So that's a change. The testing is still going to be going on, Bill. Those kids who take tests from the third grade through the eighth grade every year, and then once in high school, it's usually in the 10th grade, they'll keep doing that. But the high stakes involved with the tests are going to be lowered a little bit. They're not going to be the prime way of evaluating schools and teachers. So it'll make things a little bit less onerous. And that's one reason, by the way, that the teachers' unions joined in on this in supporting it, because everybody got a little something, and unlike what usually happens where the somethings conflict with one another, in this case they were able to put together kind of a bipartisan jigsaw puzzle that actually worked for lots of people.
And it's called Every Student Succeeds Act.
Right.
And it doesn't each state can still opt out of it? Is that kind of the way that works?
Well, no, this is something that is imposed, you know, like No Child Left Behind was imposed, and when it got too onerous, they gave all kinds of passes for states, saying, okay, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. But this isn't going to have the same kinds of heavy-handedness, I think, I hope, that No Child Left Behind had. So they'll be able to do more. Like, for instance, one issue that again, crossed party lines is a lot of people, myself included, think parents should be able to opt their kids out of the state tests. If they think there's something destructive about those tests, The federal government said if too many people opt out, we're going to stop giving you money to the states. They didn't come through on the threats because mm-hmm. some states did it. Well, now they said that's not going to be a provision. So if Arizona decides to, it doesn't now, but if it decides to, it can allow parents to opt their kids out of the high-stakes test.
790-2040, 790-2040 is our live line number. If you would like to call and add your comment with David Safir of the Tucson Weekly, we'd be glad to hear from you. David, you've been writing quite a bit about the hubbub over the AZ merit score, speaking of testing.
Yeah, it's the what people don't realize, all the scores fell. You know, it went from about 60% or 67% passing on the Ames test to about 33% passing on the new AZ merit test, and people are tearing their hair out, and some places have like 5% passing or 2% passing. Oh. And that it sounds horrible,
mm-hmm,
but
it does.
I'm going to give you an example here. Let's say I have a third period and a fourth period class. They're both identical in terms of the kids' skills, and I give them both a 100-point test in my English class. I say for one class, passing is 50%. For the other class, I say passing is 60%. Well, that class with a 60% passing, not as many kids are going to pass. They're not dumber. We're just raising the bar, raising what's called in these tests the cut score, that point at which 1 point below that you fail. Well, that's basically what's happened here. The AZ merit is a different test, but it's not the difference in the test that made the difference. It's that they decided we're going to set a higher bar. And when you set a higher bar, all schools fall, and for good statistical reasons, this would happen always, the schools with the lowest passing rate will fall even farther. That any statistician could tell you that that's what's going to happen, and that's what did happen. So there are no surprises there.
So it's not time to hit the panic button.
Well, if it was time to hit the panic button last year, then it still is time to hit the panic button. But this is no more reason. However, that being said, you're going to hear that panic button be hit and people's hair on fire about how terrible things are. And my answer is, well, they're as good or as bad this year as they were last year and the year before. No better, no worse, really.
All right, 790-2040. We'll do another segment with David Safir if you'd like to join us. But first, I want to tell you about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive over to Silver City if you are off over the holidays, and many people are, and thinking, hey, what are we going to do? We've got time on our hands. Well, how about a little road trip? And it's a place that I guarantee you will have a good time. If you have not been to the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, it is spectacular, and it's only really within minutes north of Silver City, and it's really a beautiful spot any time of year, but especially in the winter. It's a fun trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great places to stay like Casitas de Gila guest houses and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. You can find out about all the many places to stay and the many, many things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. We'll be right back.
Zoo Lights, presented by BMO Harris Bank at Reed Park Zoo, is guaranteed to put you in the winter spirit with jingle bells, twinkling lights, falling snow, and Santa. Light displays, animal theme-like sculptures, and thousands of sparkling bulbs are guaranteed to make Zoo Lights be a part of your holiday tradition. Every night from December 4th through the 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. with encore nights December 26th and 27th. $9 for adults, $5 for children with special discounts for zoo members. See reedparkzoo.org for details.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at RTAmobility.com. What if our future is space? Experience Mars and Beyond at Biosphere 2 every Saturday at our weekly What If special event during December. Growing food on Mars and seeing beyond the solar system are just a few of the adventures you can experience. Come visit the must-see wonder of the world today. Info at biosphere2.org.
This is Ryan Foster from Better Business Bureau. Do you know a business in Southern Arizona worthy of a BBB Torch Award? Nominations are in three categories: ethics, customer excellence, and good neighbor for community service. We're looking for nominations in each. This is a great opportunity to show what sets your company apart from others in our community. Nominate yourself or a business you love by clicking the button on our homepage at tucson.bbb.org. Deadline to nominate is December 16th. The 2016 Torch Awards will take place on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort. To register to attend, sponsor, or nominate, visit tucson.bbb.org.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. David Safir is here. David, his work is available at TucsonWeekly.com in the section that is called The Range, and he writes about education. David, one of the things that, we do have an important vote that will be coming up, the kind of the education vote, which will be next May. I think it's May 17th.
I don't know exactly the date, but it is mid-May.
Mid-May. And folks have been kind of figuring, well, it seems like a no-brainer. more money for education, you would think that folks would say yes, but you know, nothing's a sure deal.
You don't know for sure, and there are a number of people on the progressive side who are very, very angry about what mm-hmm. Ducey is doing with the funding in general, and the fact that he's basically robbing kids' inheritance for later to pay now, rather than taking it out of the surplus he has. So some people say they're absolutely going to vote no on it. And we'll see when it finally comes down. I'll tell you something. If they don't put any more money into education from the legislature, in other words, increase the budget next year, that will show that basically this is maybe a fraud is too harsh a term, but that this is something that's not a genuine commitment to education because it's not enough. What they're doing is not adding anything. They're bringing it back up to the lousy per student amount that we had before that they took away. So it's not a good thing. I'm probably going to vote for it while holding my nose and not being very happy about it because I want more money for schools. But unless they give more money, it's simply not enough, and it's being done in a rather poor fashion.
Well, the plan that there is money that Ducey needs to, Governor Ducey needs to decide. Some money will be going to schools that the last session of the legislature decided mm-hmm. there would be, what, about $24 million or something like that.
Something like that.
Where's that going?
Well, you know, there was an article in the paper. As you and I talk almost monthly, we're always surprised at how much new education news there is out of the government this year, because it's very unusual. And this is another something. He's sitting on this money, which he says the purpose of the money is so that any school with a waiting list, that would be charter or public school, but let's face it, that's mainly charters. Any school with a waiting list, they would try to figure out a way to expand that school or to open a new branch of that school to take care of the people. And he's got this $24 million slush fund that I believe, if I remember correctly, was part of the budget. In other words, he's got it in his pocket or in the budget, and he can spend it when he will. But he's playing a funny waiting game. He's got a committee, citizen committee, that's loaded with people who agree with him, of course, trying to come up with ideas about how to give teachers more pay and how to cut class sizes and how to reallocate the money. And that's the most dangerous thing that's going on right now in terms of education, is what's going on with Ducey and these people behind closed doors. Because so far as I can tell, they want to give more money to the schools with the wealthiest kids, which would mean less money for the schools with the less wealthy kids, and more money to charters, and possibly more money to private school vouchers. In other words, they want to do some redistribution, which would increase education inequality, much like we have increased income inequality. And it's very, very scary and very dangerous. And they're not tipping their hand yet, Bill. So I think this $24 million is part of that he's going to spring about how he wants to use it as part of this plan that they're going to put out.
Well, is this the advisory committee that made the pronouncement that teachers are underpaid?
Yeah. It was marvelous. They said, yes, they are underpaid. And everybody said, oh, yes, that's true.
Right.
But
did they offer any alternatives for paying the teachers
better?
Well,
there's that money that's supposed to come, which is the May vote, and it's supposed to be something like $300 million a year, which sounds like a lot of money. But it isn't a lot of money, unfortunately. I wish it were, in turn, with a million kids. Figure out how much money that is per kid. They want to raise teacher salaries, but if you raise teacher salaries, there's not going to be any money for pretty much anything else, which is why I say if we're going to give our teachers parity with other states, in other words, teachers won't leave the profession or flee the state, they should have more money. But they should have more money, and the kids shouldn't be using tattered books, and the computers have got to be updated, and some of the infrastructure in the schools have got to be fixed. And with the money that he is putting in, which, again, I'm going to repeat, is only money that the schools were supposed to have, that the courts are insisting they do, just doing that isn't enough. So he needs to do more to show that he supports education. Otherwise, I don't buy it.
There was a report that Arizona ranks 18th, kind of middle of the pack, in charter school policies.
Right. That's purely a matter of what the legislature says. In other words, they look at the laws around the charter schools. And they say these laws are good for charters, these laws are less good for charters. And so they rank states in terms of that. It has nothing to do with how good our charter schools are or how bad they are, how well the kids achieve or how poorly they achieve. It's just looking at a set of charter school laws, because this is I don't have it in front of me, but this is like a national charter school board or something.
Yes,
like
it's the National Association of Charter School Authorizers.
And they have a specific idea of the way they want the charters to be run. So based on their rubric, they're rating these people, and they rate Arizona 18, which, you know, it doesn't mean anything in and of itself. It's questionable how it really goes.
Didn't charter school start in Arizona? Is that where the concept came up?
No, we were about the second or third.
I mean, I know it was early on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have the distinction is we have more charter schools student than any state in the union. Those others are catching up because there are a few places. Not all of New Orleans, not all of Louisiana, but New Orleans is heavy in charter schools, and Detroit is, and Philadelphia is, and Newark is. A lot of these places have a large concentration of charter schools, but not statewide. We're still known as the Wild West of charter schools because we have lots of them, very little regulations, and not many of them closed down, including those that really should be closed by the state because they're doing an inadequate job. I'm not knocking charter schools right now. I'm knocking bad schools. And it's very easy to close a bad charter, much more difficult to close a public school that has to be there to serve the kids.
All right, David Sefier, we'll look for your work at TucsonWeekly.com. Right. Thank you very much. Happy Hanukkah to you,
well,
David.
Thank you.
And then a happy new year to you and a great holiday season for the Sefier family. Thanks
thank
a lot.
You, Bill.
All right. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw hosts that show, and Ray Allen will be engineering and producing as well as being with me Monday through Thursday. Then we have Mr. Tom Fairbanks on Friday here on the Buckmaster Show producing our program. But coming up tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, the Daily Double, Chris DeSimone, and a guest host every day from 8 to 9, and then Sean McCluskey from 9 to 10. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.